the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The gospel reading this morning was taken from a part of Scripture, along with the ones that we've been reading for the past several weeks, that in my Bible, the editors have labeled farewell discourses. These discourses begin roughly in the middle of John chapter 17 and go through the end of John, begin in John 13 and go to the end of John 17. This is one of my favorite sort of passages of Scripture. In it, Jesus talks about roughly two themes. One is, he describes a new relationship with God. God as Father, Abba Father, a familiar, affectionate term for God that was unthinkable before Jesus. He describes God as friend, accessible, close, on our side, not judge against us. The other theme in these farewell discourses is the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Greek word used, which means advocate, counselor, protector, not condemner, not judge, not taskmaster. That these themes are in the farewell discourses of Jesus underline that this is the core of Jesus' message to his disciples. Well, the coming of the Holy Spirit that he foretold in these farewell discourses, we celebrated last Sunday in Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was given and the church was born. And we have entered the season of Pentecost in our liturgical calendar called Ordinary Time. I'm not quite sure why it's called Ordinary Time. It's nothing ordinary about it. It seems that, at least in my life, I live in such sort of a constant state of whirlwind, a tornado-like sense of time. Sometimes my wife and I will say, we're ready for some crushing boredom. I am looking for ordinary time. In this ordinary time, as Mary has pointed out, the focus shifts from events in the life of Jesus to what we do in response to this life of Jesus. And in these farewell discourses, I get the sense that Jesus is saying, this gift of the Holy Spirit that is coming to you is a big deal. It's important. It's central. It's vital. What is the deal about this Holy Spirit? I think, as I read and sort of have pondered this issue for some time now, the giving of the Holy Spirit is comparable in every way to God's giving his only Son. That is how we should think of it. That is how we should try to understand it. And if I can say, the church in the first 3 to 4 centuries focused intensely on what does the gift of God's Son mean? Who was this person? Was he truly God? Was he truly man? And they wrestled with this. They delved into this question. They searched for answers to this. And they came up with answers, largely in the shape of the Nicene Creed, which we will say shortly, and in the Chalcedon Creed. One answer is Jesus fully God, and the other answer is Jesus fully human. Is the Son of God fully human? These are important foundational documents The church has never really done that with the Holy Spirit. And some are suggesting that that time has come. I couldn't agree more. Well, what is the deal with the Holy Spirit? I can't begin to answer that question fully, certainly. What I can tell you is what it means to me. What it means to me is this, that we have been brought into God, and God has been brought into us. That is an astonishing statement to me. It is high. I can't really grasp it. I have a hard time believing it. I certainly do not feel it, and my life does not look like I live in it. But that is what I believe the gift of the Holy Spirit means. You and I have been brought into God. I am not saying that we have become God. That will never happen. But somehow we have been brought into this Trinity of God. Where I get a glimpse of this is, and where I feel it sometimes, is that I believe that there is a conversation that is going on within the Godhead that we have been invited into. And our entrance into this conversation, our participation in this conversation, is through prayer. It is called prayer. Our conversation with God and God's conversation with us. And because the Holy Spirit lives within us, we are part of that exchange. Now, this conversation that exists in God, I believe, is mostly without words. My wife and I have conversations all the time without words. If you sort of looked at us at dinner sometimes, there would be no talk, but there is communication. And sometimes somebody will say, usually me, "Okay, what?" Because I'm getting the message. The more we spend in prayer, and the quieter we get in prayer, the more we hear this conversation that is happening within the Godhead. And one of the other benefits of this Holy Spirit living within us is that our concerns and God's concerns, there's no distinction between them. The concerns that I have in my life have become God's concerns. And it is possible that God's concerns become my concerns. This is one evidence that I find sometimes I feel that I am actually in God in some sense that I cannot explain. One evidence of this is that it's become sort of normal for me when I drive here in the morning to church and I pass the houses along the road, I look and I think, who lives in those houses? What is their life like? How are they related to God? What is it that God wants to do in their lives? I don't normally think like that. But I think God does think like that. And I think that that is, again, me picking up God's concern. The same has happened as we've begun to pray for people that we find on the streets panhandling. When I drive past them, the same sort of connection starts to take hold. This is, I believe, part of the conversation that God is having within Himself and now with me. And I believe this is happening to all of us in ways that we probably are not always aware of. is how we enter more fully and deeply into this conversation. One of the wonderful things that I've discovered as I've prayed for people over sometimes the course of years is that you get to know them through prayer. You get to know them somehow through God. And when you find you're with that person, you speak to them in a way from a depth, from a center that didn't exist before this prayer. And your words, you may find they have power. The first person that I ever hired was a young man I met at a high school outreach. He was a troubled young guy, a wonderful, talented, gifted young guy, but very, very troubled. He ended up in an institution after sort of a breakdown and a suicide attempt. And I had been praying for him for a long time, and there was this sort of a something that just came through prayer, and I knew that he was going to be all right. It wasn't audible, but it was just there. And when I told him that in the hospital, it took hold, and he started to turn, and he's fine. That was such a wonderful gift to me from God that I could give back to God. I do not pray well in my own life. I do not pray naturally well. I'm not what I would consider a prayer warrior. But somebody gave me a gift years ago, or I heard this. There was a little way, a method that I use. You know, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, at one point they turned to him and said, "Teach us, Master, how to pray." And he said, "When you pray, pray like this. Say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.'" You know the prayer. It is our Lord's Prayer. We pray it every Sunday. And what this person was saying is, use this prayer as a heading, each phrase, and you fill in your prayers under again. So when I pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," I just sit and am quiet. I try to literally hallow the name of God. I try to clear the air of everything else and just be quiet and still in that wonderful presence. I'm not very good at it, but that's what I try to do. And then, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I pray, "Thy kingdom come here in me, in my home, in my marriage." And I fill in the specifics under that as I wake up to them, as I feel them. And whatever else there might be and that I might have time for. And I go through all of the list. "Give us this day our daily bread." I commit the cares, the financial worries, all of that. "Forgive me my sins." I try to get those things off of my chest. As I forgive others, I let go of anger. I pray for leading, for his will for that day. And at the end, you sum it up with, "Because it all belongs to you. It comes from you and it belongs to you." This is my sort of daily sort of glimpse that I am. It is a position, it is a part of my day that I am very guarded over now. Because it's the ground that I stand on. It is sort of central to me. And it is also a position of power. I remember hearing and I've read about groups that have been called into prayer over certain issues. There was a community of prayer in Wales led by a man named Rhys Howells. And they prayed through World War II. And the day that Dunkirk happened, there was this terrible sort of agony that he described, this need that came over them as a group as they gathered to pray. They didn't know what it was about. And they prayed and prayed until they felt like they broke through and were heard. And the next day, they heard the news about the Dunkirk rescue. Another man that I know personally was leading a prayer conference in Israel, in Jerusalem, when the Yom Kippur War broke out. And so his teachings about prayer were, they would actually just stop and pray about the outcome of that war. And they had dramatic experiences of God hearing their prayer and seeing answers in the news. I was privileged to be part of a little group that felt that we prayed years ago, and we felt called to pray for the tension between Israel and its neighbors. And leading up to the Camp David Peace Accord, we wrestled and wrestled with praying how to pray for this situation. And the week before the Camp David Peace Accord happened, we were in prayer, and it just became clear, pray for peace. And this terrible sort of yearning or need or agony, is the right word, came upon all of us. And we just gave voice to that. And eventually, and there was sort of this breakthrough point. And we knew that we were heard. I wish I could say that happened more often. But we knew that we were heard. And I remember watching the news the next week as the Camp David Peace Accord, sort of the signs would be given back and forth. Was this going to happen? Was it not going to happen? Under Jimmy Carter and Haines, President Sadat in Egypt and Menachem Begin in Israel. And I just remember thinking, you heard us. And the peace accord came. Who knows how many people gathered around the world that prayed for that. That is part of the conversation that God has invited us into. That is part of the privilege that God has given us. And that is part of the power and the calling that we have as God's people. Thy kingdom come is the job that he has given to us as his children. Through.